You're tuned to New Sound Radio, 92 FM. This is the Community Hour, and I'm Pete Dane. Now, we have got a very special guest here today on the Community Hour. Someone who wore back in the 60s and was a model, appeared on the cover of Vogue magazine. I don't mix with the rock stars, photographers, artists. I don't invite to all the best parties, and was very much part of the swinging 60s scene. But locally, she's probably just as well, if not better known, for an animal welfare sanctuary in the not-so-fashionable, run-down part of Barking Road in Canning Town, yeah? We're joined now live in the studio by Celia Hammond from the Celia Hammond Trust. Celia, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
So glad to be here.
Celia Hammond Trust, can you just tell us, what is the Celia Hammond Trust?
Well, it was set up in 1986 because there was obviously a huge animal welfare problem, and I was taking all this sick and injured animals to a private vet, which was very expensive. And I decided the best way to try and deal with it was to set up my own clinic, my own charity, employ my own vets, and do everything at cost for people.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic. I mean, what was it that led you to do this? I mean, what is it that...
Well, for my whole life, I've been a, you know, fanatical animal lover.
Yeah.
And after about 10 years in modelling, I was trying to do animal rescue at the same time.
Mm.
And it was sort of stopping me doing what I really wanted to do, which was to get into, you know, the animal welfare work.
Yeah.
So my agency gave me an ultimatum and said, you either, you know, you've got to decide what you want to do. Do you want to be a model or do you want to work with animals? And I said, well, if you put me on the spot like that, then I'm going to give up the modelling. I want to work with animals.
Right.
Could okay. No longer combine the two, so one had to go.
And also, I mean, of course, in terms of animal welfare and things, I mean, something that's always been a big thing is, of course, in terms of fur. I mean, what do you think of fur being used in fashion and things like that?
Well, I did actually go to Canada to the seal hunt and watch the seal hunt there, which was like the worst. That scarred my brain, that experience.
Can you explain exactly what happens then? What's it all about? I mean,
well, yeah. It was the baby seals. I went out on a helicopter onto the ice and saw the baby seals being killed. As you flew over it, you could see the ice was blood red.
Mm. And why did they kill the seals? What's that all about?
For the fur.
For the fur?
Yeah, they want the fur.
And this is because baby seals have fur, that's right, okay, rather
yes,
than the
other. I mean, it's nice, soft, white fur when they're tiny babies. And they were not killed immediately, that was horrendous.
Yeah,
It was a very, you know, they were skinned alive, a lot of those babies.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And then, of course, I came back to England.
I tell you what, before we go any further,
yeah.
I'm actually going to really embarrass you now.
Oh, why?
What I'm going to do is, actually, because somebody wrote a song about it. Donovan wrote a song, actually, with you about you.
Oh, yeah.
I said, can we just play just a short clip from that, yeah? Just have a listen to it. I don't know how long it's been since you heard it. Have a short listen to this.
Should you wander this land to the north, and few seldom do, should you follow the song of the gull to enchanted western isles, hopes of fishermen silky seals are seen, hear the stories that they tell about, the maiden who is their queen, the maiden who is their queen, Celia of the seals, she knows just how they feel, Celia of the seals, oi, yada, oi.
Celia of the Seals, yeah, by Donovan. Have you got? When's the last time you heard that?
Donkeys, yes.
I know. It's a very good song as well, actually. It is. But it's amazing that impact that you had at that time. Like I say, people writing songs about you and things like that. And, of course, animal welfare, in a way, is, I don't know, it's a bit more of a mainstream now. Back then, it wasn't quite so mainstream, was it?
No, it wasn't. I, to my shame, did used to actually model for until I saw the light, and when I came back from Canada, I got all the top models of the day to sign an undertaking that they would never again model fur.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which must have made you very unpopular.
Well, it did make me very unpopular indeed, and the furriers couldn't get a decent girl to do any photography to promote their garments.
Good for you.
It did actually make quite an impact on the fur business.
Yeah. I mean, although it still goes on, but in a much smaller scale to what it used to be.
Yes, I think people are so aware now of all the horrors of the fur industry that I don't think fur wearing is going to come back in the way that it was then.
Yeah. Okay, coming back to Canning Town, what sort of things do you do in Canning Town down there?
Well, I run two clinics in London, one in Canning Town, one in South London. And what we do is we provide a service for people who can't afford to go to a private vet. If they can qualify to go to the PDSA, then that's fine. But we see people who don't qualify to go to the PDSA or the other major charities and yet can't afford a private vet, so we provide a service for them.
So how do people qualify to go to the PDSA? I'm not entirely sure that...
They have to be on housing benefit and council tax
rebate. Okay.
So, and if they're not on that, then they can't go to the PDSA.
You, okay.
And if they can't afford a private vet, there isn't anywhere else for them to go. So we see those people. And obviously we do a lot of neutering because there's so many unwanted animals that until more animals are neutered, then the unwanted animal situation is going to remain pretty much out of control. Mm. And we've actually neutered since we opened nearly 250,000 cats and dogs. But there's still a huge problem because as fast as we're doing that, there's other people throwing them out. They're throwing them out quicker than we can deal with the situation.
When you say throwing them out, what do you mean?
Animals, this last year, 18 months, it's worse than it's ever been. We've always managed to keep a little bit on top of things, but this year we are out of control. You know, there's animals being abandoned in boxes and bags and in skips, and, you know, every single day we're getting calls about this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And we just can't cope.
Yeah.
There's too many of them. And we do the best we can, that's all we can say.
Some people say, I've heard people saying this, that, you know, you shouldn't get your pet neutered. It's cruel to them. It's not fair. I mean, what would you say to that?
I mean, it isn't cruel. It's a very, very small operation. And a cat can have 3 litters of kittens a year, 18 kittens, maybe. And if they all go on at 6 months to breed, you can see how easily things are going to get out of control.
Yeah.
So a very small operation to get them neutered is the right and responsible thing to do. And if people can't afford it, they can come to us. We can help. We won't turn anybody away. People come and tell us they want to get this done. We'll help them.
Okay. Well, we'll give all contact details at the end if people want to get a pen and paper ready so they know how to contact you and things like that. And also, of course, it's the last time actually we met. It was a few years ago. And it was involved in something in the Olympic Park as well. What was that? Can you just remind us of that?
Yes. I remember talking to you about that at the time. It was terrible. It went on for months and months because there was all the people that left the site. Loads of animals were left behind.
Is it on the Olympic Park itself? Yeah.
On the Olympic, well, it was the biggest demolition site in Europe, and there were so many animals left behind. We took eventually over 200 cats off the site, and it was so difficult.
How many?
Over 200.
Really?
And a lot of them were feral, but a lot of them were cats that people just couldn't take to their new situations wherever they were, and it was enormously difficult. The Olympic people were very uncooperative. They wouldn't allow us on. There was an enormous battle at the time for us to get on the site to be able to rescue the cats. You know, we eventually had to involve MPs and all the muscle we could lay our hands on to try to, all the press, it was television, trying to get us.
Even New Sound Radio.
Yes, indeed.
New Sound Radio.
Yes, it was a big battle to get on there, to get all these cats off.
And I mean, how did you actually go about, I mean, because if you've got a feral cat, I mean, basically, they're wild and they don't really want much to do with people at all, do they?
Well, no, and the difficulty...
How do you catch them? How do you get them?
We've got humane traps.
Okay.
We've got humane manual traps.
Yeah.
And so long as we'd been given access when we needed it, it wouldn't have been that difficult. But it was fighting to be allowed to have a couple of days here, a couple of days there. It was just enormously difficult. It's the worst job we as a charity have ever done.
Why do you think they were being so obstructive?
Well, health and safety. They just wouldn't let us on the site, even though, you know, very experienced dealing with building sites, work on building sites all the time. We actually went off and got our CSCS cards. We were qualified to work on demolition sites, but they still wouldn't let us on. We were actually better qualified than some of the people working on the site.
Yeah. Okay. Something else I was thinking about, I was having a look on your website. It's a very good website as well, by the way, you've got, which again we'll give details at the end of it. It's just some things about puppy farms as well you were talking about. And
yes,
can you just
tell
us something about them?
Well, people go to pet shops and buy puppies from some of these big pet stores. They don't know where these puppies have come from. and in Ireland and Wales, a lot of the farmers that have gone into other areas rather than farming have set up puppy farms, and they keep these puppies in the most horrendous conditions, living in old, you know, rusting old cars and old pig pens and things.
So they're actually breeding dogs, in a way that sort of like just in pens sort of thing, rather than...
Well, worse than pens.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them are chained up in old vehicles. Mm. The conditions that they're kept in are absolutely horrendous, and they send these puppies off to the posh pet shops in London. And people have no idea where these lovely puppies that they're buying have come from. And by buying them from these places, they're actually supporting the trade.
So somebody wanted, you know, they wanted to get a cat, they wanted to get a puppy, or they wanted to get a kitten. I mean, what should they
do? Go to a rescue centre.
Right.
Go to a rescue centre. There's all sorts of... If they want a pedigree dog, there are breed rescue societies, you know, that have, you know, particular breeds that have been handed in or surrendered. There's... Really, we always say, don't go to a pet shop. Go to a rescue centre and get you a new pet.
Okay. And it's, so do you do rehoming as well?
We do, yes. We home animals. Well, we like to home animals all the time. Obviously, in this recession now, our homing figures are down because people are in such financial trouble themselves. They're surrendering animals because they can't afford to keep them. They can't afford to treat them when they're sick.
Mm.
So our rehoming figures are down, and the recession's really hurt us.
Yeah.
But we're always desperate for homes.
And so they can always just contact
absolutely.
You. Just cats,
yes.
Isn't it, you rehome, is it? Am I right to say
that? Well, yes, it's mainly. We do get the odd little dog handed in, but we don't.
Yeah. Battersea is possibly a better place to go.
Yes. Well, there are lots of dog rescue societies that are desperate for homes. You know, we suggest people go to them.
Mm. Is there particular breeds of dogs that people sort of tend to abandon or anything like that?
Yes, particularly Staffies. Unfortunately, the poor old Staffies, they're lovely dogs, but they have such a bad press. And in the right hands, they are wonderful dogs. But people get them,
there's a little bit
of pit mixed in there, and they use them as weapons, basically.
Mm-hmm. They kind of become a bit of a fashion accessory, isn't it? I mean, it's all like people sort of like want to go down the road, you know, with a big sort of ball breed dog.
Exactly.
You know, look how tough I am, look how tough my
and
dog
they
is.
They have all these studded harnesses on, mm-hmm. they call them killer, and, you know, they you know, occasionally when they come in the clinic, say, as puppies, and we've stroke, don't touch it, we don't want it to be friendly. I say, well, why would you not want it to be friendly? What do you want the dog for? But they use them for drugs, for guarding, you know, and they teach them to be vicious.
Yeah. I'm thinking somebody might be listening, they'd be thinking, well, what sort of thing I'd always wanted to do to get involved in helping animals? I mean, you know, chances for volunteers as well, do you
think? Yes, we do ask people to contact us if they'd like to come and volunteer.
Okay, and what sort of things would volunteers be doing? I'm just thinking something.
They would help feed and clean all the animals.
Yep.
If they've got a car, they could go out and pick up an emergency. Someone, you know, if we feel an animal's at risk, we keep a rota of drivers. It'd be helpful to have a list of drivers who'll come and drive out to something we need urgently picking up.
Yeah.
A bit of administration. There's all sorts of things
that suit anybody, sort of thing.
Yes.
Give me these contact details. Somebody's listening at home, they're thinking, I'll tell you, oh, what sort of thing I want to find out more about and get involved in this. I mean, go on, how can people contact you?
It's the Celia Hammond Animal Trust. We're on the Barking Roads, 151 to 153 Barking Roads.
That's just up at Canning Town, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's just sort of like, just before you get to Rathbone Market,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it's really a few hundred yards from the roundabout. Our website address is www.celiahammond.org.
It's all one word, isn't it? Celia Hammond,
yes.
Okay. And I mean, if you Google
number,
it, you could find it anyway, yeah?
Yes, if you put Celia Hammond in, you'll get it, to be honest. Our phone number is 020-7474-8811.
Okay, it's 020-7474-8811. Okay, I was just writing that down, just want to make a note of that, yeah? I tell you what, we've got to go to the break now. But there's one thing I want to ask you, yeah? If there's one thing, yeah, that people could do to stop cruelty to animals and improve animal welfare in East London, what would that be? One thing.
Well, very quickly, is to get your animal neutered. Now, some people, it's a cultural or religious problem that they have, and we sometimes get people trying to surrender a female cat because they don't want to get it neutered. So what we say to people is, if you have this problem, bring it in, you can sign it over to us in the morning, we'll get it neutered, you can readopt it in the evening. And so they don't then have the feeling that they have done something to the cat.
Okay.
And that's quite good. We've done that many times.
Okay, that sounds great. Celia Hammond, thanks for joining us on New Sound Radio 92 FM. You will stay there, won't you? Because after the break, we've got a special report from an event which took place last week on Holocaust Memorial Day. You'll stay for that, won't you? Okay. Stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM.